3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 606, The State of My Union. We're going to talk about that in podcast 606. There's something new and fun to do these days, whether it is a date night, business client appreciation event, a corporate team building event, something with your family, or a friend's night out. It's at Brush Studio West End in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Now, I can tell you that an artist will guide you through making and creating a painting. And I can tell you that you'll come away with a real painting, something you can hang on your walls at home or at work, something you and your friends and your co-workers or your family would be really proud of. But the other night, I actually went over to Brush Studio, and it's actually better if I take you inside a Brush Studio event a little bit, and you can kind of hear the reaction and what people do. So let's go on into Brush Studio.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
Sure.
You guys having fun?
Yes.
Yeah. Tons of fun.
What are you painting?
We're painting birch trees and in the nighttime with a little cardinal.
Gun and
birch. Ready to
die?
So they give you paint, right?
Yeah, and you just follow the people at the front.
The person at the front,
and then you just follow their breaks and everything, and yeah, I don't know.
It's really fun.
Different thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, on a Friday night.
And a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
we're having a good time. We got the whole family here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So
I got my wife and our two sons and their fiance and one's girlfriend.
I didn't even know I could.
This is one, probably the most fun you can have at a job. Seriously. My favorite part is when people just completely go off the rails and do something that I would never think of or other people wouldn't think of, but they came here with like an intention. It's a thing to do on a Friday night that isn't watching TV, isn't going to a movie. You're being social with a group. You get a little wine or something, but it's not like that's all you're, like at a bar, that's all you're there to do, you know. I've been teaching for 22 years, I make all kinds of stuff on my own.
You look like an artist. You
what?
Fun?
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Look like an artist.
I just found my inner artist.
Your inner artist.
Yeah.
Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. 22 brands of beer, an extensive wine collection, catering from Crave in the West End. You're going to have a good time because they are event planning ninjas at Brush. Date night, client appreciation, corporate team building, family, friends. They'll all be great. Sign up online at Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park at brushstudio.net. Brushstudio.net, or you can reach out to Brush at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. Remember to sign up online for Brush Studio because classes fill up fast. And you can do that online at brushstudio.net. Or you can call them if you want at 952-236-1700. Once again, 952-236-1700. Brush Studio on the West End. Plenty of free parking. It's really a fun thing to do. Well, let me grab my coffee. I actually should say live from the studio. I usually reserve that for, when I'm doing the radio show podcast and I say live from the studio because I will sit back away from the microphone a little bit and I'll, kind of have more of a relaxed presentation because I'm going to do all this, play all these produced segments. But this is the day, Tuesday, February 28th, for the president's State of the Union message. And there's always a lot of coverage about what's going to be said and how it's going to be received. And I always like to take these moments instead to go inward and talk about my state of the union or the state of your union. The idea of the State of the Union, just for people to understand the history, was it just says in the Constitution that from time to time the president will advise Congress as to what is going on, to paraphrase the Constitution. And Washington, as a courtesy to Congress, decided to go down there and deliver his State of the Union in person. Then, of course, over the years, you know, as I recall, Jefferson liked to write his and just sent a letter over. And various presidents. And for years, you know, there was no State of the Union message. And now we have this pomp and circumstance over the State of the Union message as though it's this important activity, you know, that the president does and, you know, makes this big, you know, journey down the street to the Capitol to make this speech. And it's covered, and it's a big event, like the Correspondents' Dinner or the Oscars. More, you know, transitory, you know, not very important functions, because the president could simply write a letter and not even bother with the State of the Union message. But anyway, we're going to have it, and that's fine. And I've talked about that before, so I don't need to talk about that. So this is, you know, off the cuff, I just woke up and I don't have any notes and thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go down there and I'm going to down to the studio and I'm just going to talk about my personal State of the Union. And hopefully this will spark some thoughts on your side of the fence, you know, your side and your some of your ideas for your personal State of the Union. And this isn't something where, you know, I'm stopping and starting and editing and writing. And usually, you know, I've been doing a lot of these podcasts that require an awful lot of thought. I can't just come down here and do a podcast on, you know, party principles or on values or on the economy. I have to sit and think about what I'm going to say, why I'm going to say it. I have to do some research and I can't do, you know, it. Sometimes that gets a little bit heavy. And so this is an opportunity for you to think about your State of the Union, and it's an opportunity for me to think about my State of the Union right after waking up. And I guess the best place to start is I'm going to start with my personal State of the Union, which is generally nocturnal. It is not the morning here. It is the morning in my world, but it is the afternoon for most people, because I operate on a completely different schedule than most people. And it's odd because I go through this process where I beat myself up over it, and then I realize how much work this is. This is so I'm running this business, and I have, you know, I have, I'm one of the few people who makes money doing podcasting. I certainly could make more money doing podcasting, but I have other things that I'm doing. And sort of down this path of being independently in business for myself. And I love it. And it's very interesting how my passions have changed in the near four. I think I've been doing this for almost 4 years now. So many of you know that I worked in radio my whole life. You know, starting really, I had my first job at 15, but I started fooling around at the radio station when I was 13 years old. So it's been a part of my life and a passion in my life for many, many years. And I had the opportunity in my career to do a lot of other things. I did, you know, a lot of entrepreneurial things within companies. I ended up doing a lot of market research where I would set up market research departments inside media companies, and did a lot of political research and did a lot of news research for television, and did television research, you know, to help television stations strategically improve their message. And it was really one of the things I always had this sort of entrepreneurial bent. So when I had the opportunity to start doing podcasting and do it as an entrepreneurial thing, that has really become, you know, my passion. So when I started this thing out, I started the podcasting out as well. I'm just going to recreate my radio job doing podcasting, and did a lot of political podcasts because I was doing political talk radio. And as time has gone on, it's very interesting to me that, and one of the first things I thought about when I was waking up today, how my passion has changed from the political stuff really to just business. And so I struggle with the nocturnal thing because, you know, the business world operates on pretty much a 9-to-5 deal, and this is a lot of work. So I always beat myself up because I'm nocturnal. You know, I've never been an early morning person. I am a late night person. You come over here at 2 o'clock in the morning and I am firing on all 8 cylinders. And, you know, I'm working 12 hours a day, just in a different 12 hours from everybody else. So I'm constantly beating myself up about this. And I go through these cycles where, you know, I stay up later and later and later. And then I'm like up at 6:30 a.m. or 7:30 a.m. I haven't gone to sleep yet. And the only way to break that is just to go to yoga at 6 o'clock or something. And I'll go to yoga at 6 o'clock and then come back around and be getting up early in the morning. And here I am kind of apologizing for this nocturnal schedule. So I'm really all over the place when it comes to scheduling. But yeah, you know, my passions have changed from doing a purely political podcast to the business stuff. And it's really fun to be thinking about the business. And I'll tell you, when I talk about the State of My Union, and this is the basis, you know, for this podcast, how is your State of the Union? First, I just want to say that it feels like things have calmed down a little bit since the first of the year and since the new administration taking office. And I'm not going to say that I don't care, because that isn't fair, but I think people are generally moving on, and we're sort of settling in as the new administration settles in, and that's how it works in this country. People get upset because there are political changes, or they get excited because there's political changes, and then they kind of lose interest, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to lose a little bit of interest, and things are proceeding down a path. And yes, controversy will well up here and there, and there'll be things to talk about. But the State of the Union message is an opportunity to think about our personal states of the Union and what we're doing. So I'll tell you, my State of the Union is that things haven't changed that much since the last State of the Union. You know, I'm doing fine, but there hasn't been a massive change in my business or anything else since the last State of the Union. The only thing that's different is that I covered the election and was with it throughout the primary season. Went to the convention, the Republican convention, and camped outside and, you know, did that whole thing, and then traveled across the country in the fall of last year, just before the election, coming back literally almost, I think I came back on Election Day, if not before, right before Election Day. So I was gone for most of October and November in sort of a mega trip out west. And what I have been focusing on, you know, subconsciously and consciously, but sort of in the back of my mind, is this idea of saying, why do I need a house? Why do I need stuff? Why do I need to be here when I could be wherever? And one of the things I've learned traveling is, you know, everywhere is great. You know, you get someplace and you're like, this is really great. This is a great place. I want to stay here. But then you think, well, now maybe I wouldn't want to stay here. So all these wonderful places that you could move to, you know, there's some really cool places. There's some cool little towns in places like Nevada and obviously Northern California has some really cool small towns. Garberville, California was a really cool place. You know, places in Arizona. I loved Bisbee, oddly enough. I was shocked at how cool Bisbee was. Butte, Montana, Duluth, Minnesota. There's a ton of places that are, you know, pretty cool towns and places that you'd want to stay, but then you wouldn't want to stay there very long. So this idea of untethering, it has really begun to appeal to me as kind of a goal. And there's a lot that has to be done to get to the point where you can untether. And it's become a fascination with me and kind of a goal with me, because the best thing about being in business for yourself is you don't have a boss. You're the boss, and you can decide what your business goals are, and you can decide what you want to do, and you can decide how you want to do it, and you can decide when you want to do it. If you want to work all night, you can work all night. If you want to work all day, you can work all day. You know, whatever you want to do, you can do. And this has become really the great passion in my life, is building a business that provides the resources for me to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And why not? That's the whole idea of being in business. And there's a lot of barriers. There are a lot of problems associated with it that come up, and anybody in business knows what I'm talking about. You know, getting paid, getting your taxes paid, getting your taxes done, figuring out how you're going to do all this stuff in terms of business. And I don't have business training. You know, my training is in media, and I'm building a media business, right? But I'm not a business MBA, so I have to figure this stuff out. This is all brand new to me. But I figured out that a lot of people would be terrified of that, and I figured out that is what that's what makes me feel passionate. That's what makes me excited about getting up in the morning, is delving into something completely new that I have to learn that is interesting to me. And you know, you look at a person like me and you'd think, well, it's all, you know, it's all creative stuff. But, it, you know, oddly enough, when I did market research, I didn't know anything about research and I was terrible at math. But it was about television and it was about radio, and that interested me. So I learned all that stuff because I had to. And I learned how to do research, and I learned how, I learned about computers, and I learned about data entry, and I learned about all those things because it was interesting to me. So, the, you know, I'm kind of hard on myself in life, and I find that, you know, I can't just sit down and learn something to learn something. I admire people that will say, well, you know, this week I'm studying this, and next week I'll be studying that, and I've learned all about this, and I've learned all about that. A lot of eccentrics will read about, drugs or something, or biological processes, or they'll read books about how to do, how to remove a gallbladder. Something like that. And then they'll move on to something else. Well, I read all these books about this. You know, I have a friend that when his wife came down with an illness, he spent a month reading every book he could find about the symptoms and self-diagnosed and figured out that she had Lyme's disease. He has always been the kind of person who just will read deeply on anything that interests him, and then and I do that. I mean, I read, but I read in a much more, I'm not a slow reader. I just read in a slower process. I don't buy every book that I could find on a subject and read them all and then know it all. I have to do it. I am experiential. And so the experience is what it's all about for me. And, you know, so that's kind of what I've been doing, is just this experience of being in business and this experience of slowly figuring out goals. I had coffee with a friend last night, and he's starting out doing the same thing, a completely different business. And we were talking about it, and I said, you know, you think that you know what you want to do at the beginning of this journey. You have a clear idea in your head of what you're going to do. And the thing is, over time, you're going to get down to the nub of what you really want to do, and that's going to be the motivating principle. And you're not going to be able to get to that nub until you go through the process of doing what you're doing. So you kind of do go through fits and starts until you get to the nub. People tell you, you got to know what you want to do. And you gotta, I agree. And I, of course, do know what I want to do. I mean, obviously, I'm very passionate about podcasting as a medium and doing everything I can do to help the medium of podcasting and doing it. I believe very strongly in it. If you listen to the radio show last week, you can hear my dissatisfaction with this straitjacket of radio formatting, which can't be fixed. And this is why I do podcasting, because I can sit here and do this, and I'm not talking to I'm talking to whoever's going to listen to this podcast, but I don't feel like I'm on the radio. I feel like I'm just sitting in my basement talking to myself, kind of, and talking to one other person who is listening. So it's not the same thing. And they always told you in the radio it's one-on-one and blah 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 blah. But after you do it for a while, you know, you get this sense of, you know, I'm speaking to a large audience. And it's not that way with podcasting. So anyway, podcasting is something I'm super, super, enthusiastic and passionate about. And media is something I'm super passionate about. But I am surprised, to be quite honest, that my passions are beginning to shift from the thing that I do to the business of the thing that I do. Well, when we start thinking about passions, I have to say that yoga is a huge passion for me. I have a daily practice. I talk about it a little bit. I probably would want to talk about it more, but I don't, because I don't want to just yoga people out. But I think it's fantastic. It's a great practice for finding out who you are and pulling that out and being happy. Because you're healthy and you're strong. And the cool thing about practicing yoga is that it helps with all those things. Now, other people do other kinds of exercise, cycling, rowing, CrossFit, lifting, competitive sports. Some people just walk. And one of the things that's really helped me with my practice, that's helped me with my passion for my practice, is something called Hydrus. This is the new high-performance beverage that gets electrolytes into your muscles really fast, and there's no sugar, because all these drinks have sugar in them, and Hydrus does not have sugar in it, which is really great. Now, you guys know yoga is practiced in hot rooms. I do hot yoga, 105 degrees, 40% humidity, sometimes hotter than that, and that's the hottest. Sometimes sometimes it's 98 or 99, but you sweat, and you're going to sweat, and you sweat like crazy. And what will happen is, if you're dehydrated, you will flag. You can't stay with the practice. And then the next day, you're really sore, and you don't want to go back. And I would just drive myself to go back anyway, and I thought soreness went with the territory. And then I found Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. If you want to find out more about it, you go to HydrusPerformance.com. But what it does is it keeps you hydrated. You drink a 16.7-ounce bottle of water with Hydrus in it before, during, and after your practice, and you'll be amazed. What happened? Well, I am able to work deeper into the practice. The wrestlers call it the grind. I call it the grit. It is being able to practice at a deeper level, and that's when you grow, and that's why it's super cool. Wrestlers are using it. Tennis players are using it. CrossFit athletes are using it. It's great. It's great for people doing dance. It's great for, if you have, young people, college athletes doing hockey or football. HydrusPerformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com, HydrusPerformance.com. You check out that website. There's all kinds of content on there about what it is and how it works. Get some. You'll be amazed. So, and that's a surprise to me, because I'm somebody that was, in order to do what I did over the years, you had to have really singular focus on the thing that you were doing. It didn't matter. In whatever radio station you were working at, you were that radio station. You had to take on the persona of that radio station. You had to live it. There was a point in my life when I was programming radio stations where the radio was on 24 hours a day, so the radio in the kitchen was always on, and I would wake up out of a sound sleep if somebody made a mistake and played the wrong record or something, and I would call in, and I'd be like, hey, did you just play the power instead of the secondary at the top of the hour or something like that, or the secondary instead of the power at the top of the hour? These people would go, you just woke up out of a sound sleep because I played the wrong record. I'm shocked. And that was legendary. But yeah, it was on 24 hours a day. I was listening 24 hours a day. I was psychically connected to it 24 hours a day. So if you're a person who is, considering, either retiring, or you're considering working in starting your own business because you're working in a company, and you first of all, the younger you can do that, the better. The second thing is, obviously, I encourage people to do it. But the third thing is, it takes a number of months and even years for that mindset to kind of be washed out. And when that happens, then you find out what your real passions are. And oddly enough, and I'm kind of surprised, because I was never really a business person. I was a creative person. I am a creative. I am not necessarily, I don't care about business. I remember, I don't care if it makes money, let's do it because it's fun. Let's just do this. Let's make this show. Let's do this idea. Let's do this because it's a great idea. But as you grow in terms of business, you start thinking, well, how can I make money with this? Or how can I help my clients with this? Or how can I make this work in a different way? And as I was saying to my friend, You don't know what that is. When you first start out, you're still in that mindset that you have from the business that you worked in. And you're not going to die if that goes away. You're not going to disappear as a human being if that goes away. What's going to happen is the real you is going to emerge from that. And then you're going to start to see where your passions are. Well, in terms of my state of the union, I still love doing my podcast, and I will continue to do my podcast, but I'm not going to sit here, as you guys know, because I've talked about it, I'm not going to sit here and rail away and fight the good fight for politics because, my experience has been politicians come and go, issues come and go, people get excited about issues, and then nothing happens, and then they get excited about something else, and that's fine, and people who are involved in that, good luck to you. But, I wouldn't be a creative person if my interests never changed throughout my life. If my output didn't change, if my creative interest didn't change, and if my desires didn't change throughout my life, I wouldn't be creative. So there's a thought there. If you're continuing to just pound away at the same thing year after year after year, ask yourself, why am I doing that? So the first thing that happens when you get out of a mindset is, the stuff that's unnecessary falls away, and the nub of what you're interested in begins to emerge. And for me, it's business. And the direction of business is really creating a business that allows me to have a creative, dynamic, profitable business that allows me to, that gives me the resources, that provides the resources for me to kind of follow these passions. And at the same time, serve clients and, you know, help people grow their businesses through podcasting and to watch those businesses grow and learn about those businesses. But really the passion and the thing that's drawing it for me right now is this concept of untethering and the idea. And this is a thing that came to me when I started traveling. You guys have no idea, if you've been listening to the Bob Davis podcast, you know I have this ambulance and I take donations for diesel fuel, which I don't want to keep doing. And ultimately, I want to have the thing fund itself. But I got this ambulance that I started. I always loved to travel. I started traveling. And, you know, I started covering the campaigns. And after, you know, we've all had vacations where we go out for 2 weeks and we go to Florida and you have a destination. Well, I'm going down to see my friend in Arizona, or I'm going to Florida to see my grandparents, or I'm going down to, you know, Virginia to see my mom or whatever. And that's really cool, right? But when you are out and you're out and it's week two and you've been out and you don't really have a destination, you're either meandering or you are covering a political campaign where it's, you know, you're in Iowa for a month and you're just going from one town to the next and covering these events and sleeping in your van. After a while, it's really interesting what happens. You kind of just start saying, well, I'm out here on the ocean, you know, and I'm just sailing. And it doesn't really matter where I go today. If I want to go over there, I'll go over there. If I want to go over here, I was like, this is great. Some people, I mean, I'm eating beef jerky and macadamia nuts, you know, parking at truck stops and Walmart parking lots and covering the political campaign, and which is another one of my passions, obviously, and, you know, stopping and seeing friends in Tennessee and Virginia and then, you know, turning and going down to Florida or turning and going down to Phoenix or whatever I decided to do, going out to California to see friends. You're just, you, everything falls away and you just start going, you know, and it's really fun. So the last thing that happened to me coming back from my Western trip in the fall, the only reason I came back was to vote, and because I needed to pick up my mail and I needed to check and see what was going on with my house because I hadn't been here in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. And I thought, why am I coming home? This is silly. Why am I'm in my home, basically. So that's now my new passion, is to be able to say, what if I was able to get the kind of vehicle that I needed so that I could just simply stay out and be out and get rid of the house, get rid of all this stuff, get, you know, sell off all the furniture, throw out all the crap that I don't need, whatever left is left, put in storage. So there's, you know, you can see the tasking that has to take place, but also I need a business that I am able to run from the road without, and make money and make more money and serve clients and, you know, be a service to the people that pay me to do things for them, whether it's consulting or podcasting or whatever. So there's a lot to do. So that has the state of my union is I'm completely occupied with this idea of untethering. I don't know if I'll ever do it or not, but I'm thinking about it. And building a business that's structured so that it doesn't matter where I am. And believe me, other people are doing this. I mean, this is one of the, and I'll tell you what started this. Part of it was I read this article about consultants. So these are young people generally who, you know, I have an Ivy League education and they get a job at a consulting firm. And after a couple of years, they're on the road all the time. So if you've ever watched the TV show House of Lies, which really isn't, I don't advise people watching that because it's a pretty intense show, but it's about consultants people who work for large consulting firms, especially the younger people, they're the road warriors and they're out all the time. And I read this article about these people that, because they were doing a lot of consulting in the Far East, let's say, they just said, you know, why do I have an apartment? Why do I have a house? I'm just gonna, and what they do is they set up in hotels in Fiji and they base themselves out of a hotel in Fiji if they're doing Far East consulting, or base themselves out of a resort someplace in some low in, you know, place where they can afford to live for, you know, for whatever time. And They have a backpack and a computer, basically, and they just go from, they do their consulting and they come back to Fiji, and that's where they hang out and do all their, that's their home base. And then when they need to go to the office, because a lot of times consultants have to go into the office, well, they travel into the office because they're out traveling all the time anyway, and they call it untethering. So that's the kind of business where you could untether, but I am trying to say, well, what if I got, you know, what if I was out on the road all the time, and what if I just went wherever I wanted? If I wanted to spend 3 weeks in Joshua Tree, you know, then I could. If I wanted to spend 3 weeks south of San Diego, I could. If I wanted to spend 3 weeks in New England, I could. Whatever. I could just do that. And that's kind of been my operating objective, is to just say, well, I'm going to untether, because I don't really see the point of staying in one place at all. So the state of my union is I'm super passionate about what I'm doing, and I'm super passionate about developing the business. And I'm super passionate about having this goal of this untethering, which was a complete surprise to me. Because I always thought, well, I'll have two places. I'll have a place in Minnesota, and then, because most of my business is in Minnesota, and then I'll have a place down in Arizona. And now I'm thinking, why? You don't need that. And why? Because today's technology really affords us the ability to, I can put the same technology that I have in this room, in this house, in a vehicle. It doesn't matter. And, all I'm going to use is a data plan to upload stuff or to talk to people or to do whatever I do, which I do anyway. I mean, most of my business is conducted online and over a telephone, so who cares? And so that's the whole thing. So that's what I'm working on. And my State of the Union is, you know, it's a struggle because you got to increase your billings. You got to increase the size of your business. You've got to help your clients, because you can't increase the business without helping clients. I mean, if you don't have a good product, forget it. You've got to help your clients. You've got to grow your business. You've got to, figure out ways to streamline. And then the fun part is trying to figure out what I'm going to do with all this stuff. And then the only other thing with untethering that bothers me is, how am I going to, have a daily yoga practice? So where am I going to go for my daily yoga practice wherever I am? And so that's going to be probably the last thing that I'll have to figure out and deal with. But that's what I'm doing for my State of the Union. And is the State of the Union strong? Yes, the State of the Union is strong. The state of my mind is strong. I struggle sometimes, and I think anybody in business knows exactly what I'm talking about. You struggle sometimes because you think tomorrow's going to be the end. But guess what? You wake up tomorrow and you go, oh, okay, well, today, this is what I'm going to work on, or this is what I'm up to today. And you try to do a little something for your business every day, but you don't have this apocalyptic worry about, A, getting fired, which all of us in the entertainment business are constantly worrying about, which I don't worry about anymore because I can't get fired from my own business. And really, the sky's the limit in terms of what you decide you want to do on a day-to-day basis. And I'm not rich. I mean, I'm not making $15 million a year. I don't have a multi-billion-dollar business I'm running. Although my friend and I, we have a garage together, and we talk about, we're going to make this world headquarters where we keep on, it's stuff like that. And those are dreams. But I'm actually doing pretty well. I don't let the political stuff get me down one way or another. And I think part of that is I've learned that for all of this angst that people have, depending on which side of the political spectrum they're on, about things, people get upset about stuff and they fight and they struggle, and that's fine. I think that's important for people to do, and God bless you if you're doing that. But I'm just not going to do that because I don't care. Because I've learned that because the general trend is people get really upset about this stuff and then they move on to something else, the next outrage. And so nothing ever really gets accomplished unless you are in that business of political organization or the business of political consulting or the business of actually being an elected official. Then you have to do this every day. So I don't worry so much about that as I worry about, okay, what do I have to do? What do I need to do what I'm trying to do here? What's going to be necessary, and how do I grow things to get there? Oh yeah, one other thing this year. Learned a lot about digital marketing this year and having a great time with my web associate and developer, Mitch Rossow, who's up at the front of the page, who helped me put together this website working on digital marketing together and going to networking meetings and learning about people doing other businesses and going to these digital marketing seminars and learning about digital marketing and people in the digital marketing business. And, you know, it's a whole new thing. I was completely uninterested in that stuff. You couldn't pay me to go on Facebook. And, you know, the radio station was like, we should be doing this. And, ugh, I couldn't stand it. And now I'm like, I'm on it all. I'm like on it like white on rice, man, just all over that. And that's a huge development this year. That's just a huge passion that that I didn't have before. So if you're thinking about, you know, starting your own business, I highly encourage it. It will create a more supple, a happier and a more healthy risk-taking part of you. It will encourage those parts of you that are better for the world than the cranky guy who works in the cranky guy that works at the radio station, or the cranky guy that is running the machine shop or whatever. It will make a better person out of you. It's just you do go through a crucible, and this is where I am today. That's part of the State of the Union message, is we're in the middle of a crucible, but it's going to be okay because I'm going to get myself out of the crucible. It will. A crucible is something that ends up refining a metal product, and you end up with a more refined, stronger piece of metal. And that is the alchemy of business. And I'm in the middle of it and I love it. And that is my State of the Union message. Yeah, once again, the sports drink that gets you hydrated really fast, I highly recommend it. I've been using it for 2 years. It's great. Hydrus. It's called H-Y-D-R-U-S. Hydrus. You find it at hydrusperformance.com. It will transform whatever it is you do for physical exercise. You'll be amazed at how much more you can do, even if all you do is walk. Just remember, hydrusperformance.com. They'll tell you all about it when you get there. Thanks again also to Brush Studio for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. It's a really fun thing to do. It's great for corporate events, team building, corporate exercises, client appreciation nights, or just for date night, just to go have some fun. Check out Brush Studio at brushstudio.net. They're in the West End, St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Lots of parking there. Thanks again to brushstudio.net. Well, in the State of the Union message, I'm sure you're going to hear about this new plan that the president has to reduce corporate taxes, but to have a 20%, basically a sales tax on goods companies bring in from the United States, as far as I can tell. And the business people are up in arms about this. I don't know whether this is some kind of an import-export tax or what it is, but there's a lot of talk about basically making it more difficult for companies to practice what they do overseas. And so companies are considering bringing back manufacturing to the United States. It doesn't matter what happens, whether it's right or wrong, your company has to be prepared for it. If you're the decision-making chain at a manufacturing company in the United States, if you're the CEO, if you're somebody that has to make these decisions, you know that there's a lot of talk about bringing foreign manufacturing back to the United States. If you're in one of those companies preparing to do that, please think about American manufacturing at DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar America. Design, engineering, and manufacturing, and you can visit their website at depostar.com. Thanks to the people listening to the Bob Davis podcasts on iTunes, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. A lot of people are using the streaming. So when you hit the page with a desktop, it'll start playing right away. If you hit from certain phones, it will start playing right away. If not, then there's a little button, the big red play button. You hit that and you'll start listening to the podcast like radio, or you can listen to any one of 606 podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com by clicking on that podcasts and that podcast. iTunes, I love. Thank you, iTunes. No commercials inserted into the podcast on iTunes. Stitcher.com, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, right off the page, thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for all your likes and shares and interest on social media, and for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. I need more coffee. And we will be heading back out on the road here in the near future, and I'll tell you more about that going forward. Thanks for listening to Podcast 606. So, yes, I hope you enjoyed that. I don't mean to be so self-focused. I just hope that, I mean, I guess what I'm hoping is that what I'm talking about will spur you to think about the stuff that you're thinking about. And if you're the CEO of a company, or if you're in a company and working for a company or working for the state or something, and your objective is retirement, good for you. It's not, you know, it's not a value judgment. And I hope that you're able to take something from this. And the idea, while you're listening to the podcast, was to have you just kind of think about your own life and what you're doing. And we need to do that more. We focus too much on external things. We focus too much on Facebook and social media and what's going on in the world and being on the news watch. And it's much better to focus on your life and figure out what things make you happy, do them more, and figure out what things make other people in your life happy and do them more, and figure out what things can help you serve your clients and other people more effectively, and you will be happier. And I guess that's the whole intent here of this sort of off-the-cuff early morning for me, late afternoon for you, State of the Union message, podcast 606.